This podcast episode is powered by AfriPods, the world's number one podcasting platform for African stories.
Welcome to Rooted and Robust Podcast.
Hello, beautiful people. How are you guys doing? It's another week, and of course, it's another episode of Rooted and Robust Podcast. My name is Ozioma Anyoji, and you know how I do it on the show. I always have a guest, and we always have an amazing time discussing something that will benefit you, something that will either inspire you, inform, or educate you. And today, we want to look at money timeline. And I have a guest on the show. Yes, I have a guest on the show. He is Denu Born. Welcome, Denu. First of all, welcome on the show. But I would like you to tell us the meaning of your name. I just want to start from there today, really.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me on the show, Ozioma. I really appreciate the invite. I do not take it for granted. So, the meaning of my name, Denu Born, it is a very, very wonderful name. Denu is Yoruba for something that goes down deep.
Deep. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, Denu. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Okay. Like it went down deep. It goes to the depth.
That's like rooted, right?
Okay. Yeah, rooted. Oh. Something that is rooted. So that is actually when you decide to separate the name from the full birth name it came from. That is the origin. So the name has an origin. My birth name is actually Oluwaferunmi Denu Favor Ogunbono.
So you decide to make it easy for some of us. So I get
not necessarily like easy for some of people, but you know, just using the global mindset to approach things. And then I was like, I think it would be more convenient to enter into spaces and into sectors and into nations with the name Denu Born than the Oluwaferunmi Denu Ogunbono. You know, that is a whole long name for people to, you know, try to memorize. But I mean, Denu Born is something that is
easy.
Very, very, easy and straightforward, straight to the point, and also catchy.
It's catchy, really. Okay, all right. So now that we've gotten the name out of the way, so let's get into you. Your profile is quite long, but I want you to quickly just tell us who Denu is, and let's get started from there.
I'm a 21-year-old business magnate, uprising founder and chairman of two companies, Goloko Diaries, a media and publishing company, and as well as Denu Cycle Limited, a financial accountability company that is also practically sponsoring the movement Denu's Money Cycle. So that is who I am, just in short. But for business-wise, you know, I'm more into media and publishing and personal finance, because it's a journey everybody needs to actually go into. And as a result of my journey into personal finance, that also brought up the personal accountability, the financial accountability company, which is Denu Cycle Limited. So, yeah, that's who I am.
Wow, awesome. I believe you talk money all the time, so it's no big deal when talking about money on the show today already. So I want to look at money timeline. Now, one of the things that whenever question about money comes up, people want to make more money. Everybody just wants to make more money, right? So, but today we want to look at not just earning, but also how do you manage the expectations of both your earnings, and especially when it's not coming as planned. But then I want to go from this conversation is going to affect two different kinds of people, right? The people that are already earning and those who intend to begin to earn. Looking at these two categories of people, what would be your advice to someone beginning of the year trying to plan their financial journey through the year? What is the first thing they should begin to do?
To which of the set of people first? Is it the people who are already earning or people who want to
begin? Whichever one that you begin with.
So personal finance is something that they didn't actually teach us in school. Mm-hmm. So I'm a graduate of architecture, by the way, and I read architecture in school. So when I came out of school and then I started making small money, the first thing that got me and the reason I actually got started on the journey of personal finance, so I've been reading a lot of books on financial accountability and more. Mm-hmm. I didn't get started on the journey until later. I started making a number of money, you know, considerable online, especially via LinkedIn. And then it was really interesting. It was getting interesting. And I was spending them. There was no savings. I was just spending as I made. Mm-hmm. And I had my sister always asking me for money for data and the likes of it. And yes, who doesn't send their sister money? I mean, it's just part of the normal thing. Yeah. So it struck me, though my mommy always complained that I lacked money management skills. I mean, I'm like, wait, I'm literally spending, you know, I'm literally spending on things that are needed, that are necessary for me, that they are not, I'm not wasting money yet. So it struck me when in January or February 2022, I discovered that my sister had about 50,000 naira in her savings. Mm-hmm. And then just about a day back, you know, she still collected, I think, 2,000 naira from my hand for data. And, you know, the 2,000 naira, it would not have been a problem if, like, I had, like, 100K in my bank account then. Mm-hmm. But, like, you know, that 2,000 naira was out of the 5,000 naira that I probably had as my last. Mm-hmm. So that kind of stuff. And I was like, wait, what's this? So I did actually approach her, but I was like, wow, you have 50,000 and you spend so wow. Mm-hmm. And you've been keeping it for a long time. So the first thing for anybody that is earning, or whether you are not earning, you want to start earning, understand that you have to actually save. Mm-hmm. You have to save. And then, you know, I've been reading books before then, and one of the books I was privileged to read, and I think I've read this book 5 times over now, The Richest Man in Babylon.
Yeah.
Yeah. So in the book, you know, it now went from just saying, you know, save for the rainy day or what have you, to making you understand that as a person, the foundation of your financial supremacy, whether you're a Christian, whether you're a believer, whether you're a Muslim, the God you're serving, and for me, the God I serve is Jesus, mm-hmm. God through Jesus Christ. And you have to really prioritize your tithing. So not in mind, every single money you earn, you know, the tithing has to be, you could call it investment savings, but the point is, it is called start your purse to fatten, because of all the money you earn, the money you truly earn for yourself is the money that helps you to provide more money. In the days of old, people had servants and slaves that worked for them, mm-hmm. and then that reproduced for them, and then that was how they really judged who was rich and who was not.
Yeah.
So if in all your earnings you are not earning money that is capable of making you more money, now I'm not talking about enslaving that you know, you are earning more money, or you are increasing the number of money you can earn, maybe in your skill or whatever. I'm not talking about that. I mean, you earn money, and out of that money you earn, you set money aside so that money can eventually help you reproduce more money without you having to work again. That is, you're making money your slave.
Yeah.
You've not started with making money yet. So reading The Richest Man in Babylon, it helps you establish that the next thing after your tithe is to make sure you save a tenth of every single thing you earn, of every single income you make, you know, you save a 10% and set it aside for investments.
Yeah.
Or for opportunities to key that money into, to help you make more money. Then the next thing to now do is also to save for the rainy day.
Wow.
To save for the rainy day. And for me, I just decided that, okay, that is another 10%. So practically now we have, that was how we formulated the gospel we preach at DMC, which we call the 10-10-10-70 principle. 10% of all the money I earn, I pay to God as tithe, because God is the author and finisher of my wealth, and it is He who gives me the power to get wealth. The next 10% of every single thing I earn, I save towards investment, the seed to which my tree of wealth shall grow.
Wow.
And the next and the last 10% of every single thing I earn, I save for the rainy day. Because yes, I trust that God is protecting me. However, things may come up and I might be in need of cash suddenly, it might be for a business endeavor, it might be even for health-wise, it might be health-wise, something, I just get to save. I just get to save, yeah.
Now, for some people that may be wondering, okay, you save, probably because you're earning enough, you know, to be able to save that much. So for people that think, okay, I'm not earning so much, I don't even have enough to meet my daily needs, not talk of saving, how do they manage the situation? Because, I mean, that's where managing expectation comes into play. You're not earning enough, or you're not earning as much as you want to. So how do you manage to, you know, be able to save for the rainy day, like you mentioned?
Well, number one, you have three concentric circles, and then we have God as the core, value as the next thing, and then money. But for this general secular mind, we can just say, you know, we have value as the core, then money.
Mm-hmm.
All right. The point I'm trying to raise is that at the end of the day, money, for example, you're in Nigeria, obviously, and then you could see what is currently happening with the cash policy and the likes of it. It shows you the intangibility of the cash, the intangibility of the currency, the intangibility of money. At the end of the day, it is who you are, and then your ability to actually exchange for services and for resources that eventually hold the game.
Mm-hmm.
Practically, the point I'm trying to raise is that money is a means to an end. All right, and money is not the main thing. So, yes, literally, I used to say, you're earning 20,000 naira monthly. The best way to start out towards riches is to start just where you are.
Mm.
So, yes, you're earning 20,000 naira monthly. From that 20,000 naira, number one, as a believer, sorry, I'll be mentioning, you know, my tithe, because tithe is very paramount for me. And I'll tell you why it's paramount for me. Someone who does not believe in Jesus Christ may not be able to understand this perfectly.
Okay.
But number one, tithe, you save, you pay your tithe. Remove that. Then the next thing to do is to pay your investment savings, keep it, set it aside. By the time an invest, you are practically buying for yourself time. Because, you know, a lot of us, investment opportunities will come for you, will come for me. And then, is it when investment opportunities come? I mean, investment opportunities that your soul, spirit, and body connect and are telling you, are informing you, confirming that this investment opportunity is something, is a wonderful opportunity for you to get into.
Mm-hmm.
But at that time, because you have not been we've not been intentional about, you know, investment planning, because practically 7-10% of every single income you earn is you're planning for investment.
Okay.
So because you've not been intentional about investment planning, and that one now happens, you start saying you want to go and look for the money. But when you're able to start saving your 10% over and over again, you know, by the time an investment opportunity comes, even from the all you have been able to accrue, you know, when you save 10% of 20,000 naira monthly, in a whole year, that is 24,000 naira.
Mm-hmm.
The next year comes, and if it is kept in a normal bank account, the bank is going to even give you an interest of about 5%.
Yeah.
All right. The next year comes, you save, but you top up, that is 48,000, about 50,000 naira. Maybe they have increased your salary to 30,000 naira by then. You're already nearing or eating even very close to 60-70,000 naira, and then an investment opportunity comes for you, and then you look into it, and then you know this is viable. It is like 1 + 1 = 2.
Yeah.
And you're like, let me key into this. You have 70,000 naira, then you still have like 20,000 naira, and you combine everything, you have like 100,000 naira. And you key into that business opportunity within 3 months, it yields a 300% stage profit for you. And then you're now saying you're having like 450,000 naira in excess. And that is because you had the money to key into that investment opportunity. Because the essence of investment is like, basically, for you to be able to curate systems where your money work for you. You know, there's now various investment schemes and all. There are various, but the point is, the literal explanation is that you are actually buying time. You are preparing yourself for the day fortune will knock at your door.
Yeah.
You get. So, irrespective of how much you're earning, then the emergency comes into to play, you know.
Sure.
Anything can sup, you know, and then suddenly you yourself needs maybe like 50K urgently. And because you've been intentional about saving that. So the truth is, what a lot of people feel that, you know, yes, I have debts to pay. And thankfully, you know, there are also systems. There's a planning, financial planning for you to pay out off your debts too.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm also paying off some debts, all right, in hundreds of thousands. And I'm following a financial plan and I'm almost done. So there are financial plans for everything. But, you know, some people feel like, their lives, you know, they need to eat, they need to buy this thing, that is the funny thing. The money you earn, you realize that you are not spending the money on yourself at the end of the day. Because the true money you spend on yourself is the money that is able to help you make more money. That mm-hmm. is the true money that is yours. Every other money that you spend, you buy book, you pay the vendor, you are paying the vendor. Yes, you are buying book. You're actually paying the vendor. So the money is not your money. You're buying food, you're paying the person that is selling you the food. It is not your money. You only eat, and the eating, you know, it passes.
True.
So at the end of the day, you realize that, you know, all this money that you say, you might not be able to survive, you know, saving 10% for emergency, 10% for investment planning. The truth is, your needs and wants will marry themselves into the remaining 70% that you have to spend. There is no how. They will just. And that is where there's another level to it. And that is why, you know, aside the fact that we preach this gospel and we say, 10, 10, 10, 70, 10, 10, 10, 70, we also tell people to join our cycle, Demons Money Cycle, because that's what we help you do. We help you with financial budgeting and the likes of it. So that is that about that.
Okay, there is conversations around savings, what to save. And I mean, we've talked a great deal on what to save, 10%, and I'm saving for the future, the importance of that. But there's this argument that people put up. They say you invest from your savings. Some people believe, okay, so once a business opportunity comes my way, I throw in everything, both the ones that are coming in now, the ones that I've saved, and I throw it in. So from your experience, you know, talking with people, giving financial advice, what would be your advice to this argument? Is it advisable to always just invest from your savings and just keep it going that way? Or are there times where you could just take it on and throw it into investment? So what would be your advice in such situation?
For me, when you are saving 10% already for investment planning, I mean, you don't necessarily need to, because not all investments, you know, will yield for fruit, and you're able to manage risks if you're just investing from your investment savings. You're able to manage risks. Like, it gives you the power. You are now, because a lot of us have allowed money to appear a lot. So for example, this 10-10-10-10-70 principle, number one, helps you take control over the way you get to lose money and your mental health practically. Because, you know, if your hope is resting upon the money you're earning, so you're earning 150,000 a year monthly, and then you're saving 10% every month, and then eventually you keep all the 10% you've been saving from the 150,000 a year for the purpose, you've been saving that money for the purpose of investment. It's different from your emergency savings. Mm-hmm. And then you keep that money, all of the investment savings, into an investment scheme. And that investment scheme goes, it turns out bad, and then you lose money. Number one, you've already developed the culture of being an investor who is always planning to make investments. So that one, because it is just 10% of your total net worth, your total, it's 10% of the value you bring to the table. You're like, okay, you know, you just continue saving your 10% for investment, you'll be like, okay, we'll make better decisions in the next time. Something like that. I don't know if you're copying.
Yeah.
So that is how it works. So number one, really, if you're saving 10% already, except I don't see the reason why you want to go beyond the 10% to invest more, because I mean the 10% already helps you to minimize risks. It already helps you with the particular risk level, right? And which is very, very awesome. But however, you know, there's a viable business opportunity and you still have some cash to pull in. I mean, you want to go all in. Sometimes when you go all in, when you go all in or all out, you can make the most of return that you can ever make. So sometimes it is good, sometimes it is cool. But when you have already 10% in plan for your investment, always from every single money you earn, it is easier to make investment decisions than when you're just banking on your general savings to make investment decisions.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a whole lot. You want to buy a car, you want to rent the apartment, but I mean, this other 10%, the purpose is just for investments. It's not for you to buy a car or house or anything initially. It's just for you to invest, and an investment opportunity is coming.
Mm-hmm.
An investment opportunity comes before you. The only thought you are thinking about is, what is the return? What is the viability of the investment? You're not thinking that you still want to buy also, because this is not the purpose for that money.
Yeah.
You get. So it's a different thing.
Wow. Before we wrap it all up, so quickly tell us about Daniel's Money Circle and what you guys do there. And if anyone wants to join, how do they get in touch with you?
Okay, Daniel's Money Circle. You can check us out on LinkedIn. What we do is just pretty simple. You just take in, we call ourselves investors, we call our members investors. It's a closed cycle, all right? And we are going to become a cycle where, you know, you get to mention out there that you're a member investor within this money cycle, and people look at you and be like, they respect you, because that is what we're building. We are building high profile businesses. We are building people who are very, very at top performers in their personal lives, such that it translates into their financials, all right? So practically, what we do at Daniel's Money Circle is that we're taking your financial supremacy on a journey.
Because all of this information and more are on your website, right?
So yeah. Our website, daniel'smoneycycle.com or dmc.com.ng.
Okay, so
yeah.
So anybody can, of course, just hop on and read all about it and get in touch with you.
And they should check us out on LinkedIn. We are more, LinkedIn is our space, because LinkedIn is what built us. So okay. LinkedIn is where they will get to learn more information about us.
Okay.
Though I think we are entering into the other social medias gradually, but mainly LinkedIn for now.
Oh, wow. All right.
Yeah.
Okay, so thank you so much, Daniel. Thank you for being on the show. Thank you for sharing with us. Nice to have had you today. Thank you so much.
Yes, I really appreciate the invite. So nice work you're doing, Jose.
Thank you.
God bless you.
Yep. You too. Thank you so much. All right, guys, this is where we call it a day for today. I will come your way again next week, of course, with another amazing, amazing guest. And of course, talking about something else that will be of benefit to you. So talk to you again next week. Bye for now.
Inaendeshwa na AfriPods.